Okay, thank you, Conan, and all those who read the Torah, and also the wonderful worship that we had today. It was a great time together. So I'm going to just take a few moments and share the announcements. Abi Abrams is going to be giving the message today, and our family took a few days off this week, and so we asked Abi if he could share a message today, and so looking forward to hearing what he has to say about Passover. So let me just go through our... Did everybody receive the update in the email? Because I sent it from Edmonton, so hopefully everybody got it. In any case, we want to invite everyone for our special Oneg. If you're visiting today, you know, I think there's a few I see who are visiting, and you're welcome to join us downstairs after our service for the time of fellowship. We sit around tables and enjoy each other's company, and so make a point of coming downstairs. Remember that... Unfortunately, we have some bread downstairs. Not unfortunately, because, you know, Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up, you know, and so by Wednesday morning, you need to have all the leaven removed from your homes if you're wanting to be obedient to what the Torah commands us to do. To purge all the leaven out of our homes, to go through your home and just to remove all everything with leaven products in it, put it into a sealed container and put it in the garage or give it to a neighbor. We gave all of our bread to our neighbor, so we're good. And so just really, you know, keep that in mind. So, you know, use this weekend to hopefully, you know, make your house a leaven-free home in preparation for Passover. Because it really is an important, you know, message for us. You know, it's a reminder, you know, that we are to be leaven-free, that God wants to purge out not just the leaven in our homes, but most importantly, the leaven in our hearts. And that we need to really, during those 7 days, be reminded that we are holy and a set-apart people. And so we look forward to our Passover celebration on Friday evening. And, you know, if you want to talk to Shoshana, talk to Shoshana about the Passover Seder. I'm not involved in that in terms of organizing all the people that are coming. So she has all the names and all the numbers and so forth. So if you have any questions about Passover, just, you know, direct them to Shoshana. All right? But it looks like we're going to have a full house on Friday evening. So that's going to be a wonderful time together. Also, there's no Bible study this week because Wednesday is on Passover, so there's no Bible study, of course, no bread delivery or whatever. So we'll resume our last lesson on April the 12th. We'll have our final Hayosot study. It's been a wonderful series of studies that we've had, you know, really helping us understand the foundations of our faith and really building upon the foundation that we have begun. And so I encourage you to attend the last one. And then after that, you know, it just so happens that on the back of our update here, there's two special days between Passover and Shavuot. You know, the Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day, and Yom HaTzmaot, the bittersweet, two bittersweet days in the days of the counting of the Omer. So we'll be observing and celebrating these two special days on the Wednesday evening instead of the Bible study. Wednesday, April the 19th and April the 26th, you know, Israel's Independence Day. So there'll be two very important days prophetically on the calendar. And so hopefully you'll come and be a part of those two special days. The office will be closed, of course, on Thursday. And let's see. Also, just remember that when we celebrate Passover, we are commanded to give a Passover offering. And so really be in prayer about what you'd like to give if you haven't given already. You know, it says in Deuteronomy 16, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way Lord your God has blessed you. And so we really want to be faithful in our giving. Remember that an offering is over and above our tithe. So we all have a responsibility to give our tithe, but an offering is over and above that. And so we really invite you to come and just to partake in that special love offering, that special Passover offering, you know, that we want to be able to bless our people with that. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for the announcements, unless I missed anything. If not, I'll remind us at the end of the service. So we're looking forward to having Avi come and share with us this morning. And so let's just open our time in prayer. Father, thank you for Avi. Thank you for his heart and his willingness to come and share on this very important day of Passover. Lord, that is so important historically, and Father, we know that we as a Messianic community, we celebrate two Passovers. We celebrate Israel's Passover and Messiah's Passover. And of course, Messiah's Passover is most relevant for us personally because we thank you that we have been delivered from sin. And you've given us victory. And we just pray for your blessing upon Avi as he comes and shares from your word. God, open the eyes of our understanding and give us wisdom and insight into your word. And we just thank you, Father. We praise you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Shabbat shalom. Okay. Well, it's such a blessing to be here. And I'll be honest with you, when Rabbi Kell approached me to do the message on the 1st of April, I thought it's probably, you know, April Fool's joke or something. Turns out, no. I don't get to speak like every or often. Not often, but for me, every time when I'm speaking here, it is such a huge blessing, to be honest. Because, hallelujah, because we are so privileged. We have Torah. We have a beautiful rabbi who has been faithful here for 28 years or more, right? Hallelujah. I mean, this is... Yeah. And the congregation as well is stable. Like, I've been here since 1995. And some other congregations appeared in Calgary, but this one endures. And we have seen some people come and go. We've been through the turbulence. So, this is indeed a message about Passover, but more so, not just that. Before we just going to open in prayer again, because I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the prayer, obviously. But I'm just going to say that the topic of this message would be Passover, but it's titled Passion for the Lord and the New Beginning. Passion for the Lord and the New Beginning. And that is tied with Passover because, as you know, Happy New Year! Happy New Year, everybody! Because it is the new spiritual year with the new month. You know, Nisan is the opening month for the spiritual Jewish year. And so it is the new beginning, and it is the Passover coming out of the old and coming into the new. Hallelujah. Okay. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we bless you and we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You have been so faithful to us. So we're grateful that you have prepared for us the appointed times. It's like an incredible cycle, the wheel of blessing in which we continuously rotate, discovering new, fresh things with every year as we go through them, Lord. And this is the new turn of the wheel, new beginning for our spiritual journey. Hallelujah, Lord. Please fill our ears with your words. May my words be anointed and be of use and be digested, be remembered, because this is what you, God, have prepared, and I'm just going to follow you. I'm not having a lot of notes. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit guidance, how the Ruach HaKodesh wants to present it to us. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. So, first, I'm just going to start with a verse. It is New Testament verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, in Yeshua, in the Lamb. What do we have? Redemption through what? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to, and now there is the two key words that I'm going to be talking about today, the riches of His grace. Now, you probably expect out of me again something encouraging, and sure enough, for me, it's super important to live the Christian life with passion, with integrity, and not pretend that we live in Christian life. Not pretend that we have power when we don't have power. Not pretend. We are not going through the motions. We are not legalistic. We're not just trying to measure up. We don't meet anybody's expectations. Each one of us here is because we want to meet with the Lord. It's because we come here to meet with the Torah that presents to us the times, the appointed times, the parasha, and speaks to us with passion. The Lord is passionate. Why do you think He talked to Moses, that guy who couldn't even speak straight? He was walking there in the desert for 80 years and really not looking forward toward like something epic. But the Lord, He had the heart for the Jewish people who were in oppression. And so He spoke to Moses. That passion led to action, and action led to response. That is always like this. This is a chain of events, okay? Chain of events. If you want to start something, you should definitely first have passion for it. There should be initial spark. Now, that spark, a lot of times we feel empty. We don't have our own spark. We cannot just say, oh, I have passion for this, for that, for this. We obviously run empty, and we need to stop at Petro-Canada and fill up or something, or eat more. You know, the Jewish people, they just eat more. Yeah. As you can see, I am actually working on it. Yes, I'm working on it. The opposite way, not to increase the intake, but to decrease the intake. Yeah. Anyways. My point, though, is that if you don't have passion, it's just going to be the ringing noise. It's going to be droning, boring, nobody's going to be excited. So it's not going to lead to the results. But if we don't have passion, the Lord has passion. When we feel empty, when we don't really know what to do, He has prepared for us His Torah, which leads us along the way where we have these fuel filling stations, Petro-Canada's along the way, all the time. And we fill up on His passion, on His love for us, on what He did for us. We cannot work it out. We cannot do it on ourselves. See that Ephesians verse. I love Ephesians. Ephesians, great. Who else loves here Ephesians? Come on. Who? Yeah? Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic letter. And so in this verse, it says that in Him we have everything. Why? Because of riches of His grace. He has endless supplies. He is like, He doesn't have to wait till the Petro-Canada truck pulls up and fills up His reservoir, whatever. No, it's wonderful. His grace is rich. Now, I have an iPad. Yes, I'm not deluded and I'm not against technology. But this is the iPad with the words epic on it. Epic. So the reason why I have it is to remind me that perhaps my understanding can be narrow. Perhaps I'm sort of living sometimes in ignorance and I don't see the full picture. Now, who sees the full picture? The Lord. The Lord knows the full picture. Okay. So even though Israelites were in Egypt, in slavery, in the spiritual darkness, in the material darkness. They were oppressed. They were in the narrow space. The Lord has seen the full picture that prophets were speaking about, that He spoke about before. Even Moses didn't see this full picture originally before the Lord has approached him. He thought, well, he just kind of gave up. He was the rebel and he was against the oppression in Egypt and he even killed somebody. And he had to run away. He was in exile and he was kind of going around there in the desert, kind of sort of giving up. I'm sure that he had still good faith. He still had good faith, but the Lord had seen the big picture. The Lord knew that He was going to start something new. And so I'm coming here to the point of my message. Passion for the Lord is not necessarily our passion. The passion that starts something, that ignites the motion, that passion is having its source in the Lord's love and in the amazing riches of Him in His character that He wants to give us. But it also requires our response to start this new beginning in faith. So if you have an analogy, you have the Petro-Canada filling stations. And I'm not being paid by Petro-Canada to promote them. No. This is the full disclaimer here. No. However, say you come to the filling station. It's full of gas. And it's cheap. Wonderful. Take it. Well, you do have to stop your car. You have to open the fuel door. Right? That door in Hebrew is actually having some sort of another analogy. As you know, like every Hebrew letter has its own conceptual meaning. And in this case, I'm talking about the letter Vav, which is kind of like a pin or a nail or a hinge on which your door kind of hinges. So it is your choice toward either left or right, open or close. So this is the letter Vav. And it is in the middle of the God's name. You know that. Yod, Hey, you know, Vav, Hey. It is the absolutely crucial point that we have to look into ourselves and respond. We have to have a choice so that we could have a new beginning. Now let me ask you this. And you probably know the answer about it. Jews, Hebrews, in Hebrew, are written as Iber. That is the root. What does it mean? What is in Hebrew means Hebrews, Jews. What is this actually root means? Does anybody know? Crossed over. Hallelujah. So, it's not just a group of people. It is not just somebody united by the DNA or the genes. Yes, that also. But as we read this Iber in God's Word, it speaks to us. It says, those are the people who made a choice to cross over. They crossed over the Jordan. They have passed over. So the Passover is your personal choice. It's your little hinge on which your whole life hinges. From that point on, from that choice toward the Lord, your soul starts on the journey of the new spiritual beginning. The cycle of Jewish feasts, appointed times, they're pretty much like the mile posts along the year for that soul as it travels. It starts with Nisan, which is the Tios month, Aleph. Aleph is number one. And it is considered to be the new year and was a new year, interestingly, in history. It's still celebrated as new year in Persia, areas of Iran and stuff like this. But it was also celebrated in ancient Greece as the new year. And unfortunately, a lot of Jewish tradition and knowledge and lore have been eradicated by the Roman Empire. Roman Empire just hated it. They hated everything about Jews. And I can tell you from that pulpit right now the secret why the Roman Empire hates Jews. And I might be, you know, fired after that, but I'm still going to say that. So the reason is because of jealousy. See, the enemy is jealous that the Jews have been chosen. The enemy wants that place for himself, for example. This is the core of his rebellion. He was so lifted up, he was so chosen, he wasn't humble. So now he's got the army of demons and strongholds and empires historically, starting from one empire to the other empire. This imperial mindset pretty much wants to take the position rightfully held by the chosen people. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to choose empires with their might and warlike attitude. No. The Lord said, I'm going to take Abraham, who made a choice by faith, and he came out of the cycle of endless worshipping the idols in Sumeria with Nimrod was there, a lot of giants were there, a lot of demons were there. So what the giants, demons, and any sort of entities want, they want to keep you rotating in the wicked circle of endless repetition. And you have no hope of getting out of it. Everything ends with death. So this is the mortal coil. You've heard that expression, right? Mortal coil. Everybody dies. What is the point of everything? But we still have to pay the bills. Need to pay the bills, so we keep rotating. Like hamsters in a wheel. A lot of hamsters. Poor hamsters. Oh my goodness. So did Israelites in Egypt. They were oppressed by these endless oppressive laws. But there is the combo breaker. This is an incredible spark of something coming from outside of that cycle. The Lord is outside of all that. He is not a part of this compromised and corrupted system, which, as we know, is being under the dominion of Prince of the Power of the Air, who kind of thinks that he's in charge of that closed environment of the law of death. However, the Lord is indeed the Lord over the enemy, because he's outside. He can see what this enemy is trying to plan. He sees everything. So he's coming from, he's also inside as well. You know, don't take it like that I'm saying that he's out there, we're here. No. But what's interesting is that he also has knowledge and eyes outside the system. So, but for us to make that step of relationship to him, of responding and opening the fuel door of our car, so to speak, to be refilled with passion, life, and the way to live Christian life of the believer, for us, we have to do it by faith. We cannot do it by vision, because we're kind of trapped in this aquarium. We cannot see. We're the fish who kind of bangs against the wall of this of the glass. We kind of see some shapes outside. We don't know what's there. So, vision fails. We cannot rely upon our eyes. Vision. But, why do you think Jewish people recite Shema? Shema means hear. Hear, Israel. And at the Mount of Zion, all the Jews were congregating and they were hearing the Lord. The Lord spoke. It's the hearing which is not compromised. The vision had been compromised, but the hearing endures. Why? I have so many things to share. I'm hoping that I'm going to be on time for this. But the reason is because when the Lord spoke creation into being, when the Lord is speaking, He's speaking with a sort of a conceptual words, probably the Hebrew alphabet, we are not sure about, but we know that Jewish tradition, you know, maintains that the whole universe was created by so-called Hebrew letters, which represent the conceptual speaking of the Lord. We know that from Genesis as well. And what's interesting, by the way, is that it said that there's a story that the Jewish people tell their young children, and children love it when they hear, and they also learn the alphabet as well. When in the story, all the letters came before the Lord God, and all the letters were presenting how wonderful they are, for, in hope that the Lord would choose them to create, to start creating the world. And unfortunately, most of them had something good, but some of them had also something bad, which stems from the original fall of the enemy, kind of compromising as well some of the concept from the original mystery of iniquity. So most of them were not good for the Lord to use them, except one letter. And it's not letter Aleph. It's not. It's not the first letter. Can you guess which letter He used? It's the letter Bet. It's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, letter Bet is really speaking about the attributes of God as the Father, as the family, as the house of the Lord, where we can relax. It's the harbor for our heart to which we strive. And what's interesting is that not only did the Lord speak the letters, so it implies hearing, obviously, but I have this suggestion to you that perhaps it wasn't just letters or words that have been spoken, it's also music. Think about it, because music is also having this conceptual inherent in it. It has the rhythm, it has the harmony, it has the intervals which go together or not go together. So, and for example, rhythmic structures are also inherent in speech, like in poetic language. There's a lot of different, you know, iambic and other sort of rhythms for the speech. But harmony, this is what truly important to the Lord. The Lord made everything. He said it was good when He said when He created everything. Now, good here implies tov. Tov in Hebrew implies that it also obeys the Lord, submission to the Lord. Not just good because it's pretty. We know that the vision doesn't work, remember? when Eve was looking at the apple, apple was looking great. Apple was just great to eat. So the vision doesn't work anymore. But what's interesting is that pretty much all of this implies that we not just see, but we hear. We make a choice to hear and respond. Now, I really want to have some rich experience as I lead out my Christian life. You know, don't you? Yes. It's the richness. Like, if you go around your life, you see beautiful art, right? Some art is good for you, some art is not good for you. But you respond. You respond on the emotional level. Your soul wants to respond. Your soul wants to get back to the Lord. But for that, it needs to start this Passover. It needs to start on the journey, listening to the Lord only. And that is happening by choice. Now, I'm going to tell you a little example here. This week, as I was studying Hebrew commentary to Psalms, Tehillim. This is a beautiful commentary by Rabbi Avraham Feuer. It's this art scroll, and it's gorgeous in a way that he really sheds the light on the heart of David. Now, David responded to the Lord. He responded with his instrument. The Bible says that somehow he also sort of was redeeming this fallen vision that Adam, you know, suffered with and Eve in the garden when they looked at the apple and it was good. And it says in the Bible that, you know, David had beautiful eyes. He had beautiful eyes. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything accidentally. It means something. It means that by choosing to play specific music of Psalms to the Lord, David was on that journey. He put himself on that journey. Now, there's a great insight in this commentary about Psalms. Apparently, some Jewish people consider these Psalms not just songs, not just music. They consider it to be the compilation of crying out to the Lord. Working out, coming from the depths, the response of David. The response to these amazing riches of grace and forgiveness that the Lord has for us. At the end of David's life, in one of the last Psalms there, he says, he kind of speaks to the Lord. He says, this is the whole body of my work. You know, don't think that this is going to be played and sort of remembered. Not in these words, but it's in the verse there about it. So David was kind of presenting what he did to the Lord at the end of his life, hoping, and of course, the Lord loves it, but he kind of was making a point here. Look what I did. And the interesting commentary in one of the Midrash about it kind of, it's actually in Perek Shira. If anybody wants to check that, it's in Perek Shira. It's the Hebrew book. I mean, it's the tradition, but it's an interesting insight here. The answer was, listen to the song, not even of human, listen to the song of the frog, rabbit, lowly frog, Why? Well, the frog praises the Lord, the creation of His riches, of His glory. And the frog does it entirely selfless, in a totally selfless manner. And at the end of his life, that frog crawls to a little beach, a little sand, and waits until the big heron bird will come and eat it up. And the frog is happy to be eaten up. Now, that is humility of some sort. This is here, so the frog, if we listen to the birds, if we listen to the animals and frogs and something around you, once you realize that the whole creation praises the Lord, not only that, but they're happy at the position where they are fulfilling their purpose. They are content to sing the song of the frog and then offer themselves up. This is actually pretty amazing. So what happens with the journey of our soul starting at Passover, continuing till we cross another land into eternity, is that our soul learns to love the Lord and be content in the position that the Lord has prepared for that soul. Every single appointed time, the Lord speaks to us. He says, look, I put you at this time. I put you at this space. What is going to be your response? Are you going to be discontent? Are you going to say, hey, well, you know, for the Passover, we need to get together some electric guitar band here. We're going to invite some Korean dancers. I've seen that happening. A big event. Well, maybe, but maybe not. See, it is a personal experience. I'm so grateful that we keep the Passover Seder here, the dinner and all the ritual here, which speaks to the soul, 100%. I encourage you to find out little elements which constitute the meal, the Passover meal. What is the meaning of the afikomen, matzah, the herb, the maroset, like all of this? Because this was ordained by the Lord. The whole event was engineered to impact you with the riches of His grace from up above, and He knows better what you need. He's from outside there looking in. Your soul does not know much. We can guess. We can speak to the Lord. And He speaks to us. But we do it by faith. Why by faith? Because vision fails. Vision is not there. But the way how the Lord ordains everything is mind-boggling. I need to check my time. At what time I should be over? Okay. So, just give you an example. You know, name of David, you know, David, three letters. Three Hebrew letters. According to Gematria, that they have numerical meaning. Now, I'm not a big fan of Gematria. I know some people, they try to combine the numerical meanings for words to phrases. They come up to some number and they do some meaning out of it. That's a little too much, I think. The only thing what I would really concentrate upon is what letter corresponds to which number. That's all. That's all you need to know, you know, from 1 to 9. And it is so in the Hebrew language. They don't even have numbers. They use letters, right? There's a hint for you to learn which, you know, letter is which number. So David comes to the number 14. And 14 can be also spelled with another letters as well. You can come to this number by 8 and 6 or by 10 and 4. So if it's 10 and 4, then it's Daleth and Yod. Now, what's interesting is David's name means abiding in love, as you know. It is the beloved. He is the beloved of the Lord. So he likes to spend his time with the Lord. And he sings music. But also, his name would also mean that Het and Vav also works. And that means the choice in the middle of the void of space and time, which is hostile to you. So you keep your choice to the Lord in the hostile environment. This is part of that. Or if you choose to represent his, you know, name by, you know, Daleth and Yod, that is a gorgeous word. Just two letters. Yod and Daleth. Investigate that. Yod and Daleth. Fantastic word. It means the power, it means the hand of the Lord. It means the knowledge. It means the fellowship, personal fellowship. So this is all in his name, but also the coincidences are amazing about how David has appeared even in time. So we have his name totally ordained. Then we have the time ordained, because it says here in the other commentary that I read that royalty of Israel will be like the cycle of the moon. We know that we have the month, 30 days, divided by half, you know, minus 1 is 14. And the royalty of Israel kings will also repeat this cycle throughout history. It will endure, that royalty, for 30 generations, just as the month has 30 days. David was 14 generations away from Abraham, who, and, you know, David and King Solomon, they kind of resembled themselves the full moon. It was the culmination of glory kind of thing. So it went from Abraham up kind of to the full moon. And the temple was built as well. And the house of David, unfortunately, after that began its decline for a waning moon until the total eclipse after 14 generations. Again, with King Sidkiyana. 30 generations from Adam to the exile. I mean, when you start to look at this, how the Lord ordains space and time, names, letters, music, you realize that you live in the epic environment. Absolutely. Now, what's great about it, you don't need to guess, and you don't need to be kind of having fears or confusion, because if you come on this journey that the Lord has prepared for you, from Passover on, He will be with you every step of the way. You are born again. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. I was one of these people who were trying to see hidden meanings everywhere. And then I repented of it. I said, I don't need to fill my head with that. I don't. Why? Because I'm in the God's hands. Now, the Lord is providing all this symbols, all the meanings at the appointed times. This is why I'm still in the Shekinah here after all these years, because the appointed times are here. Because the Torah speaking to us here through the Torah portions, and we follow the milestones along the road. Now, the reason why I bring King David into all that and his psalms is because this was the Happy New Year, and I woke up in the morning and I had my coffee, and it occurred to me, well, you know what, this is the fresh start. Fresh start. Why don't you start learning, kind of studying the Hebrew with psalms? Start with psalm number one. Okay? So on the first day or the first month, psalm number one makes total sense. And I started doing this. Now, in psalm one, there is an incredible verse about the tree. The tree which will prosper at the streams of water. That tree, oh, I hate to say this because you would think that I'm the old hippie tree hugger or whatever, you know. But think about it. We all, our souls, is kind of like planted in the Lord. We're planted, and He grows us. Now, the actual words are, the tree that has been planted by the streams of water. Now, planted here in the original Hebrew is not just planted. It's replanted. It's transferred. It's transferred from one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is getting born again. This is responding to Passover. This is becoming the Hebrew, a real Jew. I speak to a lot of Jewish people. And we speak about everything under the sun. We speak about the universe, about quantum mechanics. We speak about everything. And yet, there's one thing is missing. They don't seem to believe that they need to make any choice. They kind of like go through life enjoying the blessing that the Lord has provided. But the response is needed at Passover. Now, even Mishnah and Talmud, they even have it in them for the Jewish people. For example, Mishnah in Pesachim 10:5 says, in every generation, a person is obligated to see themselves as if they personally left Egypt. So it is sort of a command to the Jewish people, obligated. To see yourself at this time, to make a choice, get out of Egypt. Get out of the Roman Empire, you know, mentality, which is going to kill you. The Roman Empire wants to annihilate you out of jealousy because the enemy is on top of it. Get out. Get out by faith. Another one, Talmud as well, speaks in Sanhedrin 37a. Whoever saves a life, it is considered as if they saved an entire world. So it is an obligation for you to look for your soul. The soul needs to respond to the Lord. And of course, Yeshua, He saved you. He saved you by the power of eternal Lamb and His sacrifice on the cross. Now, I'm going to be a little bit more compressing here what I was going to say, but the point here is that as we've been planted by birth in this world, we have to be replanted in Yeshua. We need to start on the journey from Egypt. Now, what's it going to take? To a lot of Jewish people, like, it would take really getting to terms with the fact that they are not all-knowing and not everything can be understood. My own children, they're like that. They kind of like think that they can understand everything. Great. Oh, fantastic. You know, if that would be the case, my job is finished with them. I can, you know, rest my case, so hallelujah, they can just grow up and be happy. But no, the parent and the child idiom. This parent and the child analogy. very important. We don't know everything. The vision is not there for us. We can grasp it by faith. We can hear it, Shema. But other than that, well, we need the guidance of the loving parent. And that loving parent, he has provided everything. Passover, Yeshua, the Lamb, before the beginning of time. And he knows everything. Like, for example, there's another little piece of information that I just stumbled on Twitter yesterday. The new discovery says that we cannot even be sure that we're looking at the world with the same eyes, because our minds impose upon it their own mental and perception, you know, neuron structure. So our perception of the world differentiates from person to person. This person looks at the world and sees the world differently a little bit than even you. And everybody does so. So we cannot really hope to grasp it completely. We can't. Plus, there is the quantum laws of the mechanics, which are not possible for us to understand either. And it was meant to be like this. So the power of redemption and the transformation of your life, this has to come from your choice. Choice to pass over, and not forced choice. I'm coming back to my original notion of passion and riches. We're compelled. Our soul longs for it. We know we long for it. We need it. Now, there is another beautiful saying in Zohar, for example, about our soul being like a tree on which the birds, the little wonderful birds, they sit on every branch of our tree, on every single thing, and they praise the Lord, little birds on a tree. The other comparison also in Zohar, it says that our soul has to blossom like a rose. The rose flower doesn't have any odor or aroma until it opens up. It has to open up. And then the aroma is going to be released. So this time of new beginning is for your soul. It's to start opening up. I encourage you to look deeply into little things that the Lord is bringing to you in the details of the Passover meal. Dwell upon it. Think about it. Don't take it for granted. I know some people here have been to a ton of Passover meals. Nothing new. No. The Lord is speaking to you again. Maybe you would again understand that the bitter roots on the plate is actually speaking about the root of bitterness that you might have. Unforgiveness deep inside of you. This little piece of the bitter root that you're eating is speaking to your soul. To the birds and your soul on these beautiful branches. Hallelujah. You know. So all of that. And I also encourage you to not to get into the rut. That rut. Remember that hamster wheel that we were talking about? This is what the enemy wants for you. But by faith, by response in passion to the passion of the Lord, the passion week that he has endured for you. It's unbelievable, the passion there. I spent some time in the morning with a book called The Solitudes and Silences. The Silences and Solitudes of Jesus, Yeshua. It's a beautiful book. And it's not about what he spoke. And it's not about what he did. But it's about the times when he was silent. when he was in solitude, working with his Father upon his soul. His soul was flourishing. It was really blossoming in everything. And this is how it is in our lives. Even some solitude, something that we think is already boring, might not be so boring after all. Open your eyes, and this is how the vision is redeemed. See, you know, David, he wrote the Psalms, and he had beautiful eyes. And the eyes were really following the Lord's guidance. And this is the vision is redeemed. So Adam and Eve, well, this is the old story now. We are redeemed by Yeshua, and we are embarking at Passover. And this Hebrew, two Hebrew words I want you to remember. The path of the righteous, which is Meselot Yesharim. Meselot, the path. Yesharim, the righteous. We are on the Meselot Yesharim, the path. And this path is also speaking about the Torah portion today, which is Tzav, which is command. It's commanding us to get on this path. And Tzav is Tzadi and Vav. So Tzadi is the Tzadik, it's the righteous one, it's Yeshua. And Vav is your choice, your response, your passion that you open up. And you get on that road, Meselot Yesharim. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? So, I'm going to finish with a scripture from the New Testament. We spoke already about Ephesians. But now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse from 18 to 19. Yeah, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like steel or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. So that speaks about this, you know, cycle. Lifeless. But with the precious blood of Christ, Yeshua, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. So the Lord has prepared this beautiful Lamb. He has prepared the riches of His grace. It's spotless. Israelites had to choose the Lamb and then spend 4 days, 4 days looking for any spot of blemish on this Lamb. And they couldn't find it. If they couldn't find it, they could use it as the Passover Lamb. So, Yeshua was spotless. Whatever the Lord has for you is spotless. It's beautiful. It's epic. Use it. Wake up in your morning coffee. Open the Psalms. Read Hebrew. Pray. Because by praying, by actually voicing, it is the music to the Lord's ears. It's beautiful. We listen to Him. We respond. And I also have the list of verses that I was going to give to you how to witness to the Jewish people who are unsure when they come to this point of choice. Are they just going to continue in their cycle of what they're doing, or are they going to make a choice for the Lord? And I will do it next time. But for now, just remember what David said in the Psalm 1. The tree replanted by the streams of water. These streams are self-replenishing. They're always full. They're self-replenishing stores of water that never fails. This is from Rashi. This is from Rashi commentary. And that tree is going to have the leaf all the time. The leaf is our expression of our soul. So it's going to be and the fruit and the leaf. And the Hebrew for healing, because, you know, leaf is going to be for healing, is actually terape, which is like therapy, healing, therapy. Interesting. But what's interesting is that in Revelation, we're going to be these trees, yes. And we're going to be by the river, and the river is going to be flowing. And this is the end of our journey. This is the end of our soul who started at Passover, at this point of responding to the passion of the Lord. What an amazing story. There is nothing like it. Dwell in it, abide in it, sing songs about it, talk about it. If you give me another hour, I could speak another hour. But no. Hallelujah. So let us pray right now. Oh Lord, we're so blessed by the treasure of your character, of love, that you have poured upon us, and we are not worthy indeed. We have to turn away from our sins. We have to turn away from our endless prison in which our soul is. That mortal coil. Lord, just give us grace. Allow us to minister to others who are on that journey. May they come to Passover with, you know, may they come ready. May the Lord prepare them for this time so that the soul will be ready. Lord, make us ready. Prepare us. Remove the leaven of sin from us. Anything which is obstructs our talking to the Lord. We know that our vision is compromised, but even our hearing. We need to hear from the Lord. So, hallelujah, Lord. We bless you and we thank you for this time that we can share, for these words. May we eat it, these words. May we digest it. And may this little message be the reminder for you that everything is indeed epic. Everything has the big depth coming from the Lord to you personally. Amen. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Hey, Avi. Thank you so much for that good word that you shared today. And I was reminded of a scripture that, you know, as he was sharing from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, even to this day, when Moshe is read, the Torah, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And we who are unveiled faces all reflect the glory of God, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are being transformed by the Spirit. And as we first began that journey from Passover is the beginning of our journey, but then we have Shavuot coming up, and, you know, the next feast is on Shavuot, which reminds us of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us so that we can continue that journey and to see God's blessing as we seek his face. And so let's thank you so much, Avi, and we're going to have a worship song. So let's just stand together as we conclude our time in a time of worship, and as we prepare our hearts for the special season that will be in both the Jewish community and the Christian community around the world. We pray that God's blessing will be upon us. Lord, we really need God's Spirit in these days. We are living in very perilous times, prophetic times, times of great shaking. God really wants to shake out everything that can be shaken from our lives. He wants to purge out all the leaven of sin so we would truly be a new creation, that we would walk like that new creation. And so let's just praise you and thank God for his goodness to us as we as we worship before His presence, because He is worthy of praise. Amen.